Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
To stories that we follow on the
before
program.
Before we do, Millie Vanilli is your artist of the day on this Tuesday throwback to the 80s, and go.
Yep, they're not any better than they were at 2 o'clock.
Somehow they've gotten worse.
Remember the KKK hood-wearing idiot that went into the grocery store in California?
Yeah.
And we talked about whether or not he should face charges. You firmly believed that he was horrible, but should not.
Correct.
The sheriff's department has come out, the prosecutor's office. He will not be charged. And the hooded idiot said he was frustrated and has apologized. That's update number one.
So he didn't mean to be a racist jerk.
Yeah, he didn't mean to be a racist. He accidentally donned the white hood that he's probably had in his closet for a long time.
Right. Okay.
But no charges there. Guess who is going to continue to be charged? Lori Loughlin of Aunt Becky College scandal fame, filed a motion. This is still going on, Scott. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's been 10 years, but it is still going on. And a federal judge denied their motion today to dismiss the charges. And here's my question for you. The longer they drag this out, can the judge make the punishment worse? At what point are you just wasting the court's time?
My answer to that would be it should be no. That you just because you're trying to exercise your rights, you're convinced you're innocent, and you don't think you did anything wrong. Now, that's what she says. You know,
well, let's rephrase
not,
that.
Don't...
I don't think they're convinced they're innocent. They're convinced they have the money to beat it. There's a difference.
Okay, so if you happen to have the money to use the court system the way it was designed, should you be punished for that? My argument would be no. I mean, you have every right to use the court system. Has she done anything? Now, whether she's done anything illegal that led up to the charge, at the moment, we don't know. But is she doing anything illegal to defend herself? And if the answer to that is no, then my answer to that would be no on adding extra time to her punishment.
Okay.
She's using the system.
They also requested the calls between the mastermind of this scheme and Lori Loughlin and her husband. You know, all of this is caught
on
tape.
By the way.
Yeah, there are audio tapes of all of this. They asked, can we just hide that from, you know, jurors? We don't want them hearing that. And the judge obviously denied that request.
Okay, but they have every right to ask that certain things not be admissible in court. I mean, that's not uncommon.
Sure.
But if everything that they're doing is perfectly in line with what the legal system has in place, to punish them for what? For exercising their constitutional rights? They believe they're innocent. Now, I don't know if they're innocent or not.
Come on. Trial is set to begin October 5th. Okay. I'm guessing it will be swift.
Okay.
Here's
and
the
if
tape.
She, and if
Here's
she's
the
guilty,
check. Here's the exchange of the $500,000. Bye-bye. What I don't understand from a just living your life standpoint, Scott. Remember, Felicity Huffman came out in the beginning and just fell on the sword. She said, yep. I am guilty. I am sorry. Let's get this show on the road. She did what, two, six did days?
She was sentenced to 2 months in prison, if memory serves me right, and did about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
13 days.
So for her, and I don't want to say it's over. She's always going to live with the fact that this happened. But she got caught right out of the gate, said, yeah, I did it. Give me my punishment. Let's move on with life. For me, why would you want to just drag this out where so you've got that pit in your stomach that you're any day now you're going to be sent to prison? You have now just multiplied that anxiety by how many months has it been? I don't even remember. It has been
a long time. It's probably been 6 or 7 months, I would guess. Because she thinks she can beat it, Dana. Hang on. Stella, get your butt back in this house. God dang it, this dog.
Why is your door open?
Because I forgot to close it when I came in, and so she's now walking outside and barking at everybody that walks by. I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. She thinks she can beat it, and I'm not saying she can't.
Well, there are people who would have said, why, and maybe I was one of them, I don't remember, why would Casey Anthony even go to trial? She's so guilty. Why would she even go to trial? Why wouldn't you just say, I did this, let's take a plea?
Well, and what happened to Casey Anthony?
She beat it.
That's right. That's right. I mean, maybe take a risk. See what happens.
But don't you think there's some sympathy for Felicity Huffman and those who in the beginning said, you know what, you got me? There's at least some sympathy for the ding-dongs who have dragged this out for what will amount to a year or more when it's all over. People are going to be furious if they skate because they were able to afford to mount this defense, whatever their defense is. And they're not going to be any more satisfied if she's put away for 4 to 6 months. I mean, it's a no-win to me to drag it out this long. But then again, I don't have billions of dollars to fight it. So,
nor do I. Nor would I. Dana, to answer your question, I don't know. If I was rich enough that I could pay to get my kid into some exclusive college and I got popped for it, I would plead guilty before you could say, hey, do you want to plead? I would plead, yes! And then I would do the 6 days in prison that Felicity Huffman did, or you know, 2 weeks, whatever it was. I would do that in a New York minute. But I also don't have millions and millions of dollars. I can't, you know, mount a defense the way they can. And so,
I guess I just don't understand when you're caught on tape accepting or offering a bribe or whatever you want to call it. I don't understand what your defense is going to be. What is the defense?
The defense was we were giving a contribution to the college.
Okay.
Well, you don't have to believe it, but yeah. Prove me wrong. You are the state. You have to prove that I'm lying. I say that we were giving a donation. Prove me wrong. The liability is not on me. It's on you. And if you can't prove that that was indeed a bribe, guess who's walking out of this courthouse this afternoon? Me. And I told you it was a donation. But you couldn't prove it was a bribe. And I'm a free woman. A man. 5767798. She is Dana Wright. That guy over there with the really long hair lately is Sam Stevie III, and I am Scott Parks on KMBZ. Tuesday throwback to the 80s. God, I hate that man's voice.
Love his voice.
Oh.
I know we're not looking, Scott, to make this a topic. However, during the break, TMZ has been all over this story that I'm obsessed with, maybe a little bit. And they have released the image of the resume that was submitted to USC for this couple's daughter's rowing skills. You know, they said she was a rower.
Okay, you're officially obsessed.
If you asked me to write a resume fake for my daughter about soccer, it would probably rival how bad this one is for rowing. Because I don't know anything about soccer, and nor did they. I wouldn't even know what to write. She plays soccer.
Okay.
A lot.
I
wouldn't even know. And under skill set on this resume, awareness, organization, direction, and steering. Which, if you're going to row, you should.
All those are important, I would think.
Very important.
In rowing.
And then a list of fake finishes. Here's what I don't understand. All of these tournaments, fourth place, eighth place, 14th place, top third finisher over the last 4 years. And no one was going to check. Mm-hmm. And you know this with soccer, Scott. People know who the soccer stars are and where they are and what positions they play. And they would know that the fourth place finish in the Regatta Southwest Regional Junior Championships, they would know they had never heard of this person.
Well, that's huge. The Regatta National, oh my gosh. That's huge. To your point as to whether or not people who coach elite or recreational soccer know who the other kids are, the really good ones, the answer is yes. We're very well aware of who the other good kids are. Like, I don't know her last name. I could easily find it out if I wanted to. But the best player I've ever coached against was a girl named Nicole. And I could easily find out her last name, but I'm not a freak. And so I'm not
That'd be super weird. Let's not do that in the name of show research.
But for years, no, seriously, for years I've played against this girl and I've game planned around her because she's so good. And so if Lori Loughlin's daughter or whoever else's daughter was so good at rowing, which isn't a sport. I mean, it's,
well, you would think. Don't say that. Don't say that. It would be an even smaller community of parents.
Yes.
Because most schools have soccer. Not every school has rowing. It's going to be a smaller community of parents who know who these girls are, who are top performers in their sport.
I would agree with you on that. Yes, that is correct. So forgive me. By the way, I was wrong. SARS does not stand for South Asian Respiratory Syndrome. It's Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome.
Okay.
I want to make a correction. I have never said that I'm always right. And when I'm wrong, I want to point it out. Yeah, I was wrong. And I misspoke. So I apologize. So anyway. All right. This is good news for you, Dana. A top scientist who fell ill with COVID-19 says the world will never, underlined in this story, return to normal unless there is a coronavirus vaccine. Peter Pyatt, director of the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, was hospitalized for a week after contracting the virus in March. He's recovering at home since being released from the hospital. The virologist, who led the joint United Nations program on HIV/AIDS between 1995 and 2008, said in a recent interview that a vaccine is absolutely needed for any type of normalcy in daily life. Quoting here from Dr. Pyatt, without a coronavirus vaccine, we will never be able to live normally again. The only real exit strategy from this crisis is a vaccine that can be rolled out worldwide. That means producing billions of doses, of which in and of itself is a huge challenge in terms of manufacturing logistics. And despite the efforts, it is still not even certain that developing a COVID-19 vaccine is even possible.
Okay, so I agree we have to have a vaccine. But didn't you say at the beginning this is good news for you, Dana?
No, I said this is not good news for you, Dana.
Oh.
Because I know how badly you want to get back to work and
yeah,
you know, get back to life as usual. And I mean, I was actually sitting around, Dana, earlier today thinking about how am I going to send, let's say KU opens back up in the fall, okay? How am I sending Sarah off to school? Am I sending her off with a garbage bag of masks and gloves that she's going to have to wear?
Yeah.
Every time she walks into class?
And I think the university will provide, to the extent that it can, sanitation stuff. I mean, we're already seeing lawsuits, and there's one in the news in Kansas City today. When people do contract and, God forbid, die from COVID, we're seeing lawsuits against employers. I don't think schools would necessarily be any different, Scott. And so the schools are going to do what they can do to the extent that they can.
I mean, every time I walk into a store, am I going to have to sign a waiver that says I'm willingly coming in to get my hair cut, and I understand that there is a possibility I could get COVID?
Oh, I see what you're saying. A waiver to protect the business.
Right. Or every day that I walk into Entercom, or is it going to be part of my contract that if I happen to contract COVID while I'm at work, Entercom is not responsible?
That
if I walk into a McDonald's
is interesting.
And I want to order a Big Mac, do I have to sign a waiver that says, you know, I really want this Big Mac, and it really smells good, but when I eat it, or when I take the bag, and there happens to be COVID on the bag, that they're not responsible for me dying when I get home? I mean, am I going to have to, like, sign a little thing in the drive-thru?
There is actually a bill going through, it's Kansas. I couldn't remember if it was Kansas or Missouri. There is a bill going through right now, and Kansas residents would be limited under these proposals in the lawsuits they could file over COVID-19. This says, as legislators prepare to shield the healthcare industry and possibly the larger business community from legal liability, lawmakers and lobbyists are scrambling to craft liability protections for the legislature to pass when it reconvenes next week for one single day. The measures could ultimately affect hospitals, doctor's offices, nursing homes, and a vast range of businesses.
576-7798. We're at the bottom of the hour. News is next. 576-7798. Are you going to have to sign a waiver to go anywhere and everywhere when this is all over? 576-7798. News is next. Okay, you're saying this was released in 88?
That's what it says.
It did not chart until 90. But I'll take your word for it, brother.
Recorded Roxette. In 1988.
All right, Roxette. Must have taken them a while to hit the charts. So what were you saying to Sam off the air about the governor?
Well, it's interesting because I saw this story, I don't know, it was like 2 days ago or a day ago, and the Missouri legislature is looking at its own bill, but they're trying to craft a bill that would protect businesses and healthcare facilities from lawsuits. Because what's going to happen, you know this, Scott, there's going to be a flood of lawsuits.
Oh, yeah.
COVID-related lawsuits, right?
Yep. I got sick in your store. I got sick at your hospital.
Right. So businesses are looking for protection. It says Democratic Governor Laura Kelly and Republicans agree the healthcare industry should enjoy some form of legal protection, but support for shielding non-medical businesses appears much more tentative.
Now, here's the problem I have with that. And I would be so willing as to say protect all businesses. And here's why.
Ooh.
You haven't even heard my explanation. You made the decision to go to the hospital. And maybe you needed to go to the hospital. Maybe you were suffering chest pains or whatever. Well, there are, if you don't think hospitals are doing everything that they can, well, coronavirus or not, to keep every virus out of their hospital as possible. I mean, there was a study that came out the other day out of New York. 20% of the people in New York have coronavirus. They're either symptomatic or asymptomatic, okay? Then they tested the hospital workers. So 20% of New Yorkers have coronavirus, okay? Which, duh, you have a gigantic city with 13 million people in it. People are going to get coronavirus. When they tested hospital and other healthcare workers, the number was 12%. They're much less likely
sure.
to get it, probably because, A, they're wearing masks, they're wearing gloves, they sanitize all the time, which is one of the reasons I'm really not that concerned about you-know-who does a job that I'm not allowed to talk about on the radio anymore.
Okay, listen to this.
But back to my point, if I may. Are we going to start, if I want to do takeout at Applebee's, do I need to sign an affidavit that I'm not going to sue them?
They still don't know, Scott. So this says the Kansas Chamber of Commerce, as we speak, is developing a plan to provide extensive legal shields for businesses. Individuals with the virus but who didn't require inpatient hospitalization or suffer serious illness or death would be prohibited from suing. And then listen to this sentence because it's important. Only a deliberate act intended to cause harm or threaten exposure could trigger legal action.
I would agree.
Property owners couldn't be sued unless they willfully or maliciously failed to guard or warn against infection risks. So take that. I'm a property owner. I know I've got the COVID. I know I've got it. I am terribly ill. And I invite you over, Scott, for a candlelit dinner. It would have to be deliberate, and you are knowingly placing someone in harm to trigger legal action.
Or, for example, here. Let's lose the candlelight dinner thing because that was kind of weird. But let's say that, Dana, I know that I have COVID-19, okay?
Okay.
My house is on the market. I'm trying to sell my house. I've been all over this house.
Right.
And I let people come into my home to look at it to see if they want to buy it.
Because you got to sell your house.
Right. I want to sell my house. But I know, that's the key. I know that I have COVID-19. I should be able to be sued.
Yes, because that would be a deliberate act intended to cause harm or threaten exposure
or complete disregard to the safety of others. Yes.
Now, the problem is in all of this, if it's not malicious and willful, how the hell does anyone know where they got it? And then how would you even begin to prove that that's where you got it?
Well, it would almost be impossible. And I understand this contact tracing thing that they're talking about. But for example, I have been two places today. Other than my own home, I have been to Kelly's home because I spent the night at Kelly's house last night. And I went to CVS to get a few just small things that I needed. Sarah's birthday is tomorrow. I wanted to get her a card. But I walked in with a mask. I walked in with gloves.
But you could be asymptomatic for 3 weeks, Scott, and have no idea. There's no way to trace it back.
Right. So when they say, you know, we need you to contact trace. The only way to do this properly is to literally limit the number of places that you go. However, in the last week, I've gone to Kelly's house a number of times. I've been to my mom's, but we were way away from each other. I've been to CVS. Do we need to contact trace anybody who was in the store at that time? And I have been one time to Hy-Vee to get groceries. I have no idea who was there. I have no idea who the people were that I passed.
Right. There are a couple of very narrow exceptions that I can think of currently where someone might be sued. And that would be the healthcare worker who went to work at the nursing home with a fever and a cough. And it was earlier on, but that worker went, had a fever and a cough, went and was tested, I think, the next day at KU and was positive. And then within a very short time frame there, that facility in KCK exploded with cases.
Yeah.
Exploded with cases. Yeah. Now, was that malicious or was that early enough on, Scott, that I just thought I had a cough? I thought it was allergies. This wasn't malicious or knowing. I just thought I'd whatever.
Well, but Dana, if it's not malicious, if it's not knowing, then no, of course you're not. Short of just incredible derelict of duty, nobody should be sued for this. Here's the one thing I haven't been able to figure out. And Sam, do not chime in because I know you work for them, and I'm not bashing your company. I'm bashing any gas station. How are they not running out with Clorox wipes every time somebody pumps gas?
This is so funny you just brought this up. I had to gas up yesterday for the first time, and I cannot even tell you. I mean, months. I had to go and do the gas thing. And you know what I used? The paper towels that they always have right there mm-hmm. to squeegee or whatever. Mm-hmm. I took a paper towel. I actually felt like you, Scott, because that's the one surface I don't want to touch. And the second one is at the grocery store. I don't want to key in my PIN on that filthy pad that 1,000 people have touched.
When I go anywhere, and I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but I'm trying to protect you as much as I'm trying to protect myself. I hand sanitize, put on my mask, then I put on my gloves anywhere I go in public, okay? When I get to pumping the gas, I have a Clorox wipe, and I push the buttons like when they want to know your zip code.
With the wipe?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And then I lift the handle with the wipe and a glove. I put it in. You can call me crazy. I'm trying to protect me, and I'm trying to protect you. I look like a hazmat coordinator. I'm not kidding. And you can call me crazy, but if this thing gets me, it ain't getting me without a fight. And I'm like, I have the glove on, and I have a Clorox wipe over my finger, and it's like 66202. Enter. Mm-hmm. It might get me. This virus may get me, but it ain't get me without a fight. Mm-mm. And so I would argue that gas stations have an obligation. Sam, don't weigh in because I know you work for Quick Trip. I would argue that gas stations have an obligation to put Clorox wipes at every pump. And when I go to pump, I wipe it down. This is kind of starting to sound dirty.
Well, I don't wipe it down because I don't want to touch that thing any more than I have to. Just get it out, put it in, be on your way.
Oh, come on.
I mean it. Do you know how many hands have touched that thing in any given, I don't know, 6-hour period?
This is one long Dana-ism. Also, those wipes would just get stolen.
You're probably right.
No, it's a 100% fact. People steal our towels. It's a paper towel.
Why?
But Sam, do you know how many times somebody's touched that thing on a daily basis?
In a 6-hour period?
And they just keep putting it in and then taking it out?
You know what? I might go back to full service. There is something to be said about full service.
And then they just keep pumping. You're listening to Dana and Parks on KMBZ. throwback to the 80s. We got Dana or no?
She just gave me the no hand signal and then walked away.
Is she mad about something?
I don't think so.
She just walked away?
Yes, she is no longer on camera. That is all I know.
Welcome to my new world. Are you guys aware that it takes 10 minutes for Clorox wipes to kill COVID-19? No, I'm not aware of that. The clean the pump segment was funny, and then it went around the bend. Dana swings at every softball that Scott tosses. Thanks for the entertainment. You're welcome. Where did you go?
She is still not with us.
Well, she's on camera. Where did you go?
We lost her. I don't know. The clean feed says she's away.
Okay. By the way, update on a story we brought you yesterday afternoon. We had the great Al Fitzmaurice joining us on the program. Scott Boras, who is probably one of the biggest sports agents in the world, if not the biggest, is urging Major League Baseball players to reject the owner's latest 2020 season proposal, which would be roughly 78 to 82 games starting in late July. Spring training would begin in June. Three divisions, no leagues. Expanded playoffs. Scott Boras is asking the players to reject it, and I quote, "The players I represent are unified in that they have reached an agreement and they have sacrificed anywhere from 30 to 40% of their salaries so that the games could amicably continue. The owners represented during the negotiations that they could operate without fans in the ballpark. Based on that, we have reached an agreement, and there will not be a renegotiation of that agreement."
Oh.
Oh, my. I haven't heard this song in 30 years.
I'm going to miss you, just like you missed me when my laptop died.
Your laptop died? That's what happened?
Is that what it was?
20% battery to 2 to dead in like 2 minutes. That's what
it's
just
called
happened.
Zoom. It's called Zoom. It eats it like a damn... Tyrannosaurus Rex.
What?
Oh, turn it up. I haven't heard this song in 30 years.
I'm going to miss
it. Okay, pot it down because I don't want to pay these phonies. And then pot it back up. They didn't sing it anyway. One of them's dead. We got to run. Dana, I'm going to miss you.
I'm not going to miss you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, I'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Okay. You're leaving. On behalf of our producer today, the finest man in all of America, the great Sam Stevie III, my good friend and co-host Dana Ryan, I am Scott Parks, and God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe. Be COVID-free. Be well. And be good.
It's a tragedy. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.